Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Happy Thursday. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And for a lovely, lovely day, which is supposed to end up raining a little bit later here in the beautiful San Francisco Bay Area, we are going to be talking about the idea that in some ways, some of the way things that we tell ourselves are actually a form of almost of self-hypnosis, which is why I called today's episode, You Are Getting Sleepy. And for those of you who remember that point of view and that reference of the person waving the gold watch back and forth, hypnotizing you. So, for those of you who are down in the LA area, the call-in number is 424-258-9337. And the guest call-in number for everyone else, including those here in the beautiful Bay Area, is toll-free 877-697-9725. After the show, I'll be logging into the chat room. And if you would like to go and chat and hang out with my producer, Tina, then I will log on and answer any questions you might have. So let's talk about what it is we tell ourselves. Henry Ford had a quote that said, whether you believe you can or you can't, you are right. So let's look at some of the conversations that we have with ourselves that can be a form of self-hypnosis. Wow, can you tell it's almost right before the holidays? So when we think of self-hypnosis, in a lot of cases, it's used for things like weight loss or quitting smoking. And basically the idea is that someone puts in a thought when you are in a very, very receptive state that is supposed to alter your way of responding to a particular stimulus. Now, if you know, you remember back in the old days where the idea of where a hypnotist would get on a stage and hypnotize a bunch of people and they'd seem to go to sleep and then they would tell them, okay, when you hear a bell, you're going to cluck like a chicken. And if you hear a bell and cluck like a chicken, I suggest you see somebody about that. But the idea was that when the people would wake up, they'd have absolutely no idea that this little thought or post-hypnotic suggestion had been placed in their heads. And then someone would ring a bell and boom, here goes people clucking like chickens or taking some other sort of action. And the action would seem to make sense to them at that moment. But, of course, it really didn't make sense. But the idea that a concept placed into the consciousness, and especially a concept placed into the subconsciousness, can manifest an action or a response that becomes as automatic as the doctor hitting you just below the kneecap with a hammer and having your knee respond. That's called a deep tendon reflex. So what is it that we have a tendency to put into our own minds that becomes a part of the subconscious thought? That goes into that almost that same reflex reaction as having a thought put in during a session of hypnosis. And I know quite a few folks who do hypnosis, and there are really there's huge education around that, and there's a lot of schooling, there's a lot of certification process. So it's not just people doing it at parties anymore. This is a very valid and really, you know, scientifically supported mode of therapy. And people have been helped with everything from certain behavior patterns, lifestyle habits, to, you know, fairly involved emotional processes. So when we look at the idea of planting a thought or implanting a thought in a moment when we're receptive, why is it that we can't do that to ourselves? And that is where the concept of self-hypnosis. Often it's listening to a particular CD or, you know, a particular set of music, and in the weaved into that music, either subliminal or you're listening to someone who guides you through it, and they are putting in thoughts that generally are considered very positive. You feel good about yourself. You are very beautiful. You have no desire to smoke. You have no desire to whatever the process is. So when we think about the idea of somebody doing that for us or listening to somebody else doing that, how is it that we are holding that within ourselves? What stories are we telling ourselves? What statements are we repeating to ourselves often enough that it becomes almost a form of self-hypnosis, to where we react based on a particular stimulus? Let's say, as an example, if you give yourself a really bad time about your weight, and there's this constant, oh, I shouldn't be eating this, I shouldn't be eating this, I shouldn't be eating this, really, that almost creates a system of where you are going to eat, because you begin to obsess on it. Okay, if I said, do not think of a purple giraffe with white spots, how many people don't think of a purple giraffe with white spots? But even though I said, don't think about it, what the image is, or what the mind does, is it will take that image that I've given you verbally, and it will go, oh, okay, giraffe, you know, purple giraffe with white spots. So often when we tell ourselves, oh, you know, I don't want to do this, or I shouldn't do this, the I don't and I shouldn't are removed from it, and everything that follows that becomes a part of the consciousness. Now, sometimes people can not as much have that coming from themselves, but reflect on what has been given to them and what has been presented to them by others. Maybe you go out with friends and you order a dessert, and somebody mentions, oh, wow, are you sure you want that dessert? Because, you know, you're looking a little bit on the heavy side. That little joke or little dig, really, even if we laugh it off at the moment, that hits, and it becomes a part of that inner conversation. I shouldn't be eating this dessert. I shouldn't be eating this dessert. I really feel bad about myself. And we respond by, you know, getting very defensive about it. Well, you know, this is just one dessert, and I didn't eat much lunch, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and all this other stuff that creates that energy that we start building up around it. Either that or, well, you know, you're right, I'm fat, I'm big. And either one does not really allow you to go into a place of, one, accepting yourself exactly as you are in this moment, or to be able to create anything productive from that. When we have those types of things brought into our field, brought into our consciousness, there's a little bit of something, these little hooks kind of get snagged, and it snags into those vulnerable places where we really, you know, have our insecurities kind of brought into the forefront. If somebody teases you about something that you are totally, completely secure about, it is not going to cause you the discomfort that having somebody put in one of those little digs into an area that you are already sensitive about. Yeah, I've been working with weight issues for a long time. I'm less than what I was, but I'm not as small as I would like to be. And I know that I go into places of, you know, when I get stressed, I want to eat, and having to deal with that. And you know, especially on one day when, you know, I was feeling actually pretty good about myself, and a friend kind of looked at me and said, wow, you know, you really need to work on losing some weight. And I said, you know, I was saying to myself that it's like, wait a minute, I was actually feeling good about myself today. And to have somebody come up and they, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, what? That goes right into my level of insecurity. Now, if somebody came up to me and said, you know what, yeah, you really need to study up more about chiropractic. I love studying about chiropractic. I'd probably respond like, really, what have you heard? What is there something new out? I wouldn't necessarily reflect it on my abilities as a chiropractor. And, you know, I feel fairly good about how I practice and what I do, but I always look for that opportunity to learn more. So a comment like that really wouldn't affect me. A comment about my weight, okay, that's going to affect me a little bit more. And that is going to start triggering some of those old self-hypnosis things that I used to do when I would reflect badly on myself. When I have something that reaffirms my own negative image, it's something that I grasp onto. And that is something that we normally will take a lot faster a grip on than we would a compliment. In fact, it's very difficult sometimes to just accept a compliment, especially in an area that you are sensitive about. Maybe you got a haircut and you really weren't feeling very good about it, and somebody comes up and says, wow, I really like your hair. It's like, what? Oh, this? No, they did a lousy job. A lot of times the reflex is to immediately start devaluing. Oh, that's a really nice top. Oh, well, you know what? I just got it for a couple of dollars. It was at Savers. It was at, you know, Goodwill. You know, I really didn't like it when I first got it. You know, I'm not sure about the color. And there's this tendency to just go into that place of replaying that subliminal suggestion, that post-hypnotic suggestion that has us doing it automatically. That's where the tricky part comes in. When things are done automatically, when we respond in a knee-jerk reaction. And in fact, the phrase knee-jerk reaction comes from the idea of a doctor testing your reflex. It's not something you control. It is just a part of the neurological system. And when we talk about knee-jerk reactions as to how we respond to something, it goes into that place of, am I choosing to feel bad about this, or am I just responding because it is natural for me to feel bad about this? Am I choosing to respond with anger? Am I choosing to respond with shame? Am I choosing to respond with guilt? Am I choosing whatever it is that you're choosing to do? As long as your response is because, it's like, you know what, I've thought about it, and I'm going to respond to this particular statement in this way. But most of the time, that's not how it happens. And those negative comments, whether they come from ourselves, whether they come from a very bad response when we look in the mirror, when we look at pictures of ourselves, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know. Yeah, I talk mostly about, you know, things like, you know, weight issues, because that's something that I live with. I know friends who smoke, who will go out of their way to, you know, make sure they wash their hair and they wash their hands and they wash their clothes. And they, so, you know, they don't, it's like, well, I don't want to smell like smoke. And they're almost apologetic for it. And, you know, they'll get up and, you know, go out, and they will stand in the rain just to go out, have their smoke, because they don't want to, you know, and very courteously, they care about the people in the room. But there's also that piece of judgment. Because anybody who smokes, I know, I understand, you have been told by everybody and their cousin, total strangers feel justified in walking up to you and saying, well, you shouldn't be doing that. And it's now moving into that place of, even for people with weight issues, you're out there, you're eating, and some perfect stranger will come up to you and say, you know what, you really need to do this. And it's like, really, do I know you? why are you coming into my space and affecting me like this? So the idea that the responses that we make and the way that we have thoughts that become a part of our subconscious, those things that trigger those knee-jerk reactions, it's about reworking that. This paradigm and this scenario happens because it happens. It's because that's the way we're wired. The question is, how can we make it work for us? Can we turn that subtle self-hypnosis into something that serves us, into something that moves us forward? Can we say, you know what? I'm going to, you know, eat this particular thing. I'm going to eat less. I'm going to enjoy the small amount I have. And that's going to be good enough. And afterwards, I'm going to feel full and I'm going to be okay. You know, if we, you know, are smokers and we go out and smoke, you know what? I'm going to at least have less. And I'm going to feel really good about that. And after, it's like, you know what? I smoked less. Today, I smoked less than I did yesterday. And I feel really good about that. Or, you know, whatever it is, you know, I'm a good parent. And I do the best for my family that I know how to do each and every day. And making that a part of your reality, repeating those things to yourself. There are people who put affirmations, like, on their bathroom mirrors. Which is a very cool thing because at some point you're going to go in the bathroom and you're going to look at the mirror. Putting them on your refrigerator, allowing that a positive statement or a positive thought, that's not just a positive thought, it's a positive thought about you. How do you create things that take away from the negativity, which... Remember, there's light and shadow in all things. So even the negativity has a purpose. And maybe it's just to remind us not to go there. And it's the idea that, you know, when somebody comes up to you, and let's say, you know, somebody comes up to you and says, you know what, you really should not be smoking. And, you know, and some of them are very rude about it. And they, you know, it's like, well, and you're polluting the air for everybody else and da-da-da-da and all this stuff. If you're the person on the receiving end of that, and I have watched friends be on the receiving end of that, a couple of different responses. There could be the swift and very certain invitation on where they can go. There can be a swift and certain invitation to explore their own, you know, anatomy as to where something, an idea like that could be put. There could be a lot of different responses, or simply just staring at them until they get uncomfortable and walk away. Or there could be, you know what, I am working with that, or I am not working with that. And I will thank you to keep your opinions to yourself. Have a good day. So there's a lot of different ways, but even in that, taking a moment to be able to decide how I want to respond instead of responding by either going into guilt, where you either direct the energy at yourself or you direct it at somebody else. And maybe the person who irritated you is not the person you directed at. Maybe you go home and, you know, that's stewing around in your head and somebody else walks up to you and you let them have it. While that is a choice, is that the best choice that you can make? Is that the best choice? So the key word in that is choice. And a part of choice is responsibility. It's taking on the responsibility of, you know what, I'm going to put this out there. They are not making me say it. My subconscious is not making me say it. I am choosing a response. I am choosing an action. So by creating, you know, positive subliminal messages for yourself. Even if it's anytime, you know, you're walking along, every once in a while you just randomly think, wow, I look good. And then you go on, and after a while you go, wow, I look good. Maybe you pass a window or something that reflects, wow, I look good. After a while, you start feeling good. Even if it's just picking one thing about yourself, wow, my eyes look great today. Wow, you know, my hair looks pretty good today. Man, this top really looks good on me. Finding ways to put messages in that start to ease out some of the other messages. If nothing else, it reduces the impact. Because then it becomes a case of, okay, if somebody called you an eggplant, would you be upset? And they came up and you are an eggplant. And I had this conversation with a friend of mine because she was saying about how, you know, people say stuff and, you know, that she would be upset about it. So I said, well, are you an eggplant? She said, no. I said, well, would you get upset if somebody called you one? And she said, no, that would be very silly. It's ridiculous to call me an eggplant. And I said, okay, one response that when somebody comes in and puts something on you that doesn't belong to you, you can look at them and say, I am not an eggplant. They will look at you funny. And they will probably not want to talk to you that much. But the idea is it that much sillier to be upset over somebody calling you an eggplant than it is to be upset and take on when somebody projects something at you that really isn't your truth? You know, you may be heavier than you would prefer. But that's something that can change. And in some cases, you know, people with thyroid conditions or, you know, there are a lot of physiological reasons why people might be heavy. People smoke because nicotine is addictive. It's not just, oh, well, gee, I'll put it down and walk away. No. It is an addiction that can be worked with, but it takes that piece of being able to, you know, let go of that physical need. It is a physical addiction. It's not just a psychological addiction. So, you know, if somebody comes up and, you know, like, well, you shouldn't be smoking and da-da-da-da and finger-wagging, and you reach that place of, you know what? I am not a bad person because I smoke. I am a person who chooses to smoke. And I will stop smoking when I reach that place within myself. No one has ever changed themselves because a total stranger came up to them or even a family member, you know, you really should lose some weight. You know, nobody's going to, it's like, oh, what? Oh, my God. Yes, yes, you are right. I am going to change right now. Thank you so much for pointing that out. I have a friend who smokes, and, you know, people are like, you know, you really shouldn't smoke. Those things will kill you. What? They should put a warning on the box. Oh, my gosh. And, you know, he would just go on and on. It's like, really? Oh, my, wow. This thing, these things will kill people? How can they sell them? But the idea is that, one, humor always helps if you don't take the situation so seriously. And two, well-meaning people can really be irritating sometimes. So do either one of those states of mind have anything to do with how you view yourself? Technically, no, unless you let it, unless you give that thought, that post-hypnotic suggestion, the power to affect you. Be able to go into, you know, a lot of folks do meditation, and meditating isn't just sitting around trying to think of nothing. That's probably the hardest type of meditation to do. It could just be sitting, listening to music you like, and relaxing. And when you're in that nice, relaxed place, think good things. Think, wow, you know, I'm really feeling good about myself. I am so very grateful for the body that I've got. And it's only going to get better. If you're a smoker who's trying to quit smoking, I am going to find a way for, you know, myself to, you know, that I can feel good about getting rid of this addiction. And each day I'm going to be stronger about it and stronger about it. And even if I fall back, I'm still moving forward. So that's not a problem. So the idea is that you take those times and those quiet moments, even if it's just when you lay down to go to bed and you start to go to sleep. And right when you're in that comfortable spot as you're just kind of sliding off, think some good things about yourself. Think some good things about someone else. If they're going through that and they're going through a lot of trouble, you know, think some good thoughts about them. Because you can project this energy. This is something that it's a part of you, and you can either send it out to someone who needs it, or you can focus it on you. This is a time that you can be amazingly selfish. You can just lay there and go, you know what? You know, I really appreciate everything about myself. You know, if nothing else, say, you know, I could be a lot worse. I'm actually a really good person. And I'm doing the best I can with what I have. And you know what? That's good enough. You know, my creator, however you hold that, or the universe, however you hold that, knows that I'm a good person. And I'm going to hold that. And that's the only opinion that matters, is my own. That's the first person that I'm going to go to when I need to get advice, is me. I'm going to go with my intuition first. Yeah, I am that person that I admire most. And you could use these little subtle things to kind of rewire some of that old programming, to be able to look at yourself in a different way so that your response is going to come from that place. If somebody says, wow, you need to lose a little bit of weight, and you can look at them and your first reaction is to go, well, that's one opinion. I think that I'm beautiful. And I really, you know, I'm going with that. So learn how to tell yourself better stories and allow that to become your reality. Let that become the chicken clucking when the bell rings, so that that way you can take those thoughts and those feelings that really don't belong to you, that belong somewhere else, and just let them go. And you can let them go very easily. It's not about forcing it or faking it till you make it. It's what you become, because that's how your programming goes. That's the thought pattern that you create, and that becomes the knee-jerk reaction. So I want to thank you all for joining me, and I will be back next week, next Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, and we're going to be talking about gratitude. So I hope that everyone has a wonderful week. For those of you who listen on archive, thank you. And I hope you have enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to meeting up with you again. If you have any questions about me or about what I do, you can look up my website at www.the-healing-out.com, and there are links to my other websites that talk about my book and a lot of other stuff. So I wish you a wonderful week and weekend. I wish you blessings, whatever your situation is. Tell yourself better stories. Because if we're making it up anyway, why not make up something fun? So, this is Dr. Eileen, and this is Healing House Radio. And I hope that the ticking, swinging watch only tells you good and wonderful things, because that's your reality. Blessings to you all, and we'll see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye. Now, it said there were still